The title this morning, if you are a note taker, is The Glory of God. The Glory of God, Part 6. The Glory of God, Part 6. I want to continue on with the series of The Glory of God, Part 6. And for the past few weeks, we've discussed the importance of the glory of God, how we have to seek after the glory of God, and what the glory of God does in our lives as a Christian. And when we look at the Word this morning, I want you just to continue to remember what we spoke about over the last 5 weeks. And I want to share with you that when God created the earth, He used His own Spirit, or His glory, to form the invisible into the visible. He used sound waves. There's some things that God did. He had the glory cloud over the environment that He was. Then He spoke some word. He used the sound waves. And then He said, "Let there be life." And when God spoke, He used faith-filled words. The words that you should be speaking when you're in the glory of God is faith-filled words. Not ones I hope and I'm believing maybe God will show up today. No, faithful word that know that God is able and capable of doing whatever you say you want Him to do. Amen? As long as it lines up with the Word of God. And then He spoke these faith-filled words. These were words that were now words. And when He spoke it, He believed it. That's where most Christians fail. They pray to God and they ask Him questions, but they never really believe with faith what they speak. So as Christians, we got to speak it, we got to believe it. And then it says, when you do these things and you enter into the glory zone of God, He does the miraculous. He does miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen? So this morning, I want to share a little bit more about the glory zone. And the greater the glory, the quicker things happen in your life. The Word of God says that we would experience reaping where we did not sow. I shared that a few weeks ago, that there are areas that the Lord is going to bless you and pour out this favor and this increase on you like never before. And you didn't sow in that area, but you're going to reap some good stuff. Amen? See, God wants you so blessed so the world takes notice. It's not about having a whole bunch of things, because things can't hold on. If God says you can have these things and He says give them away, they don't control me. It's okay to have some things. And I've learned over time that, you know, a lot of Christians have kind of, and even pastors have messed this up a little, that you should have, you know, 5 cars and 6 houses and all that. And it's okay to have this prosperity, but how many of them can you stay in at one time? How many people can you bless with? Now, if you have 2 or 3 homes, and that's okay if you do, and they're all paid for, and you're giving them away, or you're renting them out where you're having an income stream coming in, or you're blessing somebody, amen? God's all for that. He doesn't like someone who hoards it. I mean, I don't need 7 new cars because I can only drive 1 at a time. Amen? But maybe that car, God's setting you up to give it to someone. When God says to release it out of your hand and give it to somebody else, you ought to be able to release it out of your hand and give it to somebody else. Amen? God says, give you that tie up or give that watch up to somebody because they need that watch. They need that coat when you go to the missions. Amen? That you just bought that was brand new that you liked and you didn't even wear but one time. And the Lord says, go give that coat to somebody because they don't have one. You have the ability to get another one. And you go do that. See, things don't control you. Amen? God wants you blessed to draw people to Christ so they can experience the glory of God. When the glory shines in your life, presidents and governors and kings and people of influence are going to seek you out because you have the answer that they've been seeking. I wish the president would call me right now. I got the answer that he's been seeking. Amen? I wish the Congress would call me. I have the answer that they've been seeking. I wish the House of Representatives would call me up because I have the answer that they've been seeking. They've been throwing God out of all those places, but what they need to do is invite Him back in and let the glory fall upon the place and watch America prosper and grow. Become one that is sought out by the glory of God in your life. Remember, the glory brings deliverance. It sets you free. Worship places you into the glory zone. Worship. When you need to get a breakthrough, get into worship with God and allow the presence of God to fall down upon you. Amen? The glory brings power in your life. God wants you to have power. Power. wonder-working power. Amen? You have it at your disposal. You have legions of angels. All you got to do is use them. Get into your secret place of the Most High. Get in there and pray. God may ask you to fast and pray so that you'll have that breakthrough. Because when you do that, it accelerates the pace of the glory zone. What happens is God will accelerate things when you are in prayer and when you're fasting. God will accelerate things that need to get done quicker in your life. You've been calling for a breakthrough, but we're not willing to sacrifice something to get it. Amen? So this morning, we're going to take a look at the glory zone. We're going to talk about it. We're going to share a little bit about how we get into it and waiting on the Lord and how do we discern what God's saying to us this morning. Amen? You'll stand for the reading of the word, Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." It wasn't Buddha. It wasn't Muhammad. No. God created the heavens and the earth. "And earth was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, the glory of God, was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." Why? Because he believed with faith. And when he spoke it to happen now. Not next week. Not 7 days from now. He said, "Let there be light." Because the words he spoke were now words. They were faith-filled words. But he spoke them when the glory of God was there, and the miraculous things happen when you speak things into existence. When you believe what you're about to speak is going to take place in the glory zone, things change in your life. Lord, bless these people. Let them hear your word. Let them discern what you're going to say. Let me be your vessel this morning to pour through. Guide me, direct me, and use me this day. Let me get it done for you this morning, my elder brother Jesus. I'm here to please you. I'm here to speak whatever you want to speak, Holy Spirit. So use my vocal cords and use my mouthpiece to speak to those that are here that you love. We pray you this in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. And amen. You can be seated if you can. Let there be light. That's what he said. Why? Because the glory was there. We need to understand God does things in order. God is a God of order. God wants you blessed and highly favored so that you can be a trophy for him, so that you can be showing off, and that people will be drawn to that. The illustration of the bronze and the silver of the gold, God wants you to be on top. You know, I could have had the bronze, right? But that was nice. I took third place. Silver, man, that's second place. That's good, too. I'm pretty happy with that. But see, God wants you to step up onto the top of the mountain where you have the gold. Amen? Why? Because people are going to look to you. But you beat everybody else out. You took number one. You're number one in God's eyes. When you work in the glory of God, when you start to flow in the glory of God, you need to understand something, that he's positioning you to be used mightily for people that are looking for an answer. There are people seeking. There's a people desiring the word of God. And guess what? They don't know where it's at. They don't know how to get it, but you do. You're the one they're going to use. You're going to come to. You're the person of influence they've been seeking out. Amen? Let's talk about waiting on the glory to move for a second. Because many times you see that we wait on the Lord, and we just allow the glory of God to follow and fall down in this place, and we want him to do what he wants to do. Amen? Take a look at 2 Samuel this morning. 2 Samuel 5:23. 2 Samuel 5:23. The Bible says this. 2 Samuel 5:23. "Therefore David inquired of the Lord." What did he do? He inquired of the Lord. He said, "Hey, God, I need some help here. Hey, Lord, I have an answer, but I want to hear from you what you want me to do first." Lord, I got a good plan, but your plan never fails. He inquired of the Lord, and he said, you shall not go up, circle around behind them, and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly, for then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord commanded him, and he drove back the Philistines from Geba and as far as Gezer. Amen? I thought that was an old person. Anyways. You notice that David inquired of the Lord first. When you are in the glory zone of God, when you've been praising Him, when you've been worshiping Him, when you've been fasting, when you've been there, and sometimes you haven't sensed Him to move yet, just stay and do what you've been doing that got you into the glory zone. Amen? Continue to do what you've been doing. Don't move too fast while you're still there waiting. Keep praising Him, keep fasting, keep praying, keep giving. Do not move until He tells you to move. Amen? Because if you move too soon, you'll be there too early, and you don't want it. But you move too late, and then you miss the party what God had in store for you. We've been patiently waiting on the Lord for what decision to make about the facility. Do we stay? Do we go? Amen? And I'll announce that next week, praise God. I'm working through some details. See, when the glory moves, you need to move with it. You need to flow in the things of the Spirit, not in the goofiness that you see a lot of times in churches. You know? I've been asking God about all this craziness that I see. I mean, I see it on TV and the people just shaking and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And just not sure that's all God. There might be a little flesh in that. You know, I believe that people get slain in the Spirit. I believe that people fall out. I believe that the power of God can hit you without someone have to touching you. I think when you're in the glory zone and the Holy Spirit tells you to move, and that's the thing, you need to discern when the Spirit tells you to move. Sometimes we sit and we wait on the Lord. I'm not in a hurry. I don't want to miss out what He wants to do. See, a lot of times we're in a hurry. Lord, I got 15 minutes. I got to get, you know, my stomach's growing. I got to get out of church because it's almost 11:30 and can't be in such a hurry when we're in the spirit realm. We just want to wait on the Lord. We want to do what He wants to do. I think His plan is better than the plan I prepared. Now I come prepared every Sunday, but if He wants to do something different through me, go ahead, Lord. I just want to be the vessel you pour through. I'm willing to yield to what you want to do. Amen? And a lot of times we have to learn that we have to yield to ourselves to do what He wants to do. Sometimes it's inconvenient because the Lord's trying to do something for you. Pastor, that's crazy. Yesterday, my son and I'll give you a perfect example. We went to a Harbor Freight, and this guy had this giant box. Now, the guy was trying to mess with the door to get it. Now, he could have opened the door himself, and the Lord quickened me. He says, open the door for that guy. This is a biker guy. I mean, he's, you know, burly dude. I mean, you know. And I said, excuse me, let me get that door for you. And he looked at me odd, and he opened up the door, and I said, hey, go ahead. You look like you're struggling with the box. Thank you. I appreciate it. I said, no problem. God bless you. And I walked one step, two step, three step, and picked up a pile of money that was on the ground and put it in my hand. He didn't drop it. It was just a thank you for being obedient. Because, see, maybe a couple seconds ago, that financial blessing wasn't, it wasn't a lot of money. It was a couple, two, $3. Just enough to buy a Starbucks. Amen. But the point was, I was obedient to what the Lord said. Did it inconvenience me? I could have beat the guy to the door. I had some things to get done. But I took the extra moment or two to be inconvenienced for a second. To let somebody say, hey, I thought about you because I see you struggling with a box, and open up a door. See, he was a big burly motorcycle guy that everyone kind of looked at him kind of funny. I didn't care. I don't care what color. I don't care what he looked like. I just wanted to be a blessing to him. I hope he told his friend, this guy opened the door for me. How many people can open another door for a guy? He was struggling. See, you got to be obedient. You got to discern what the Spirit of God's telling, because there's a blessing right around the corner. How many times I know I've missed the blessing because I want to do things my way? You ever been there? God told you to do something, you go bless somebody? Praise God. See, when you move as the glory moves, you experience the miraculous. When you move when the glory moves, you experience the miraculous. And it's important for us to discern what God's telling us to do. When we get into the time of praise and worship, even in your presence of your own car, sometimes I worship God and I pray. And there's sometimes I just can't get out of the car yet. I got to just sit in there just a little bit longer because I want to bask in what He's saying. I want it to soak through my very bones, amen. So when I get out of the car, I'm ready for whatever the world's about to throw at me, amen. See, once we're in His presence in the glory of God, don't move until He tells you to move. Sometimes He says, wait. And what He's trying to do is teach you patience. Sometimes you have to wait upon the Lord. Christians don't like to wait upon the Lord. They want it now. We get upset when we go to McDonald's and it ain't done in that timer in 90 seconds. So where's my food? But sometimes in that waiting, God's trying to get you to praise Him a little bit more. He's allowing you to pray a little bit longer. Maybe He's asking you to sow a seed or whatever that might be. But don't move until He tells you to move. Sometimes waiting on the Lord is the best thing you can do. I've been waiting on Him for weeks on what we're going to do with the facility. Before we even had our meeting as a church body, I was asking God. And I said, Lord, just give me that answer right now. I'm ready to go. Come on. And He says, just wait on me. Here, I want you to meet with the church and bring it forth in front of the church. I want you to wait on me. I want people to pray about it. I want people to bathe themselves in the glory of God so that they are hearing. They are discerning. So that when we make a decision that we're in agreement with, that God gets the glory. Amen? We're not in a hurry. The world tells you to hurry up. But see, what we have to learn is we have to learn that there's some spiritual discipline, and we got to learn to train ourselves to discern the Spirit of God. We have to practice being in His presence. Do we get in His presence on Sunday, but do we get into His presence Sunday evening when we're alone, or Monday, or Tuesday, or Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday, or Saturday? See, you have to practice His presence every day. I know my wife's moves before she's going to make them, because I've spent some time in her presence. She knows what I'm about to say before I'm going to say it. She goes, I'm just discerning about what you're going to speak. That's how we should be with God. We should be discerning on what He's about to say. Let me share about Paul and Silas. They needed the glory of God to move on their behalf, did they not? Let's take a look at Acts 16:16. I want to read this because this will help you. Just as David inquired of the Lord, he waited for God to give him an instruction. If he would have not waited on the instruction of the Lord, he would have moved too soon, or he would have moved too late, and he would have not had the victory. Sometimes it's just good to wait on the Lord. There's such a peace in here this morning. Take a look at Acts 16:16. Now it happened. I'm going to move this thing around and I messed myself up here. Let's see here. Acts 16:16. Now it happened. As we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of demons, basically met us, who brought her masters much profit from fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, I can see Paul getting a little upset, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly troubled our city And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Boy, it sounds kind of like what's going on in some other countries where our embassies are at. Then the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates tore their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks, but at midnight. But say at midnight. See, that's about a new day about to happen. A new beginning, a fresh start, a refreshing. But Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Let me stop for a second. Clothes were taken off and they were beaten with rods. Just like Jesus was. I mean, if I just got my butt tuned up by a bunch of people, last thing I'd want to be thinking about is worshiping God. Oh my God, my pain. Oh God. You know, we all complain of, oh God, I just got whacked. Oh my God. You know, think about that. They put him in the inner prison. Not one on the outer shell, they could still see the outside. No, they put him in the inner prison. Sometimes we feel like we've been in an inner prison. Sometimes we think we've been locked up and forgotten. Sometimes we've been put in the sub-basement of the sub-basement of the sub-basement. But midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were building the atmosphere for the glory of God to show up. In your deepest situations, in the hardest parts of your life, take the time to praise and worship God so that the glory will fall down upon you so the situation will change. And they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. There are people watching and listening to you while you're going through your test and your trials. And you may feel like you're isolated, but don't. God's with you. And as you praise and you worship and you fast and you do those things for God, the glory shows up. And then suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Glory showing up. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. When the glory of God shows up, he will shake the very foundation of what you thought was religion, what you thought was reality. God will shake it loose. Amen. And open up the windows of heaven. He will pour out blessings. He shook this jail so much that there was an earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. When you're in the presence and the glory of God, chains will be loosened. Foundations will be shaken. Cancer will have to go and astound the doctors. Blessings of finances will come your way and you won't understand how that happened. And I, like you said, all the doors were open. Not just one door. When God opens the door, he kicks the door open and opens all the doors so that you can walk in. He doesn't want anyone to be stuck in the inner prison of themselves. He wants them to be free in the glory of God. Their chains, their shackles were loosed. When you're in the glory of God, the chains and the shackles of your life get loosed. Your financial things that have held you up are going to be broken. Your kids that were on drugs and alcohol that weren't serving God is going to be broken. All the doors will be open and they'll come running back to hear the word. They're not so far out that they can't be touched yet. When the glory shows up, look out, because God's going to do something awesome. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8 says this. Jesus Christ, that's who we serve. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is not doing anything new anymore. He's done everything he was going to do. He's done. The only difference is when we start doing it, it becomes new for us. Well, Pastor, that's a big thing. God did something new. No, no, no. He did something new in you, but he's already done everything he's going to do. See, the same glory or the Spirit of God that was in the beginning is here today and forever. And we got the Word to experience it. The same words that God said, let there be light, when the glory of God is the same yesterday as it was today and will be forever. God does not change, but we have to. The glory of God changes our circumstances and our situations. He's not changing, but we are. He's changing our situations, and we're thinking he's doing something new. Yeah, we're just plugging into the power of God and starting to understand how powerful he truly is. See, when the glory showed up when Jesus walked this earth is the same glory that still fills us up. Amen. The same glory that was on the earth when Jesus was here is still around today. It's available for you and I if we're sold out for Jesus. Pastor, I don't know about that. Take a look at John 14:12. John 14:12. It says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever believes in me, see, you have to be a believer. If you're not a believer, you're discounted. You're out. That's why the world can't receive from him, because they don't believe in him. They're disqualified. I was just thinking about that gentleman you read in the newspaper that had the house with all the gold in it. He had like $7 million worth of gold and silver in his house. Think about that. I can't access that. I'm discounted because I'm not connected to him. But if I was his nephew, I'd be $7 million richer right now, praise God. But I'm not. But how much better am I connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who doesn't change, who always remains the same. He's always steadfast, always still loving you, always still caring for you, always wants you to get into the glory of God so that you can change your life. He says, even greater things you'll do than what Jesus did. Because now you have God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit back in your play. Think about that. Greater things you will do. How? When you're in the glory of God, it has to happen now. We got to be in the glory to use the gifts. God's given you all gifts. But you have to operate those while you're in the glory of God. When you do that, the manifestation is larger. It's more of a display of his love and kind. People are drawn to it. Amen? People go to Benny Hinn Crusades. Why? Because they're drawn to the healing. They know there's going to be a healing that's going to take place. Not because of Benny, but he builds the atmosphere of the glory of God to show people are already getting healed before he even gets there. He didn't lay hands on most of those people. Most of them had already gone up. If you watch his crusade, most of them have already gone up to him and say, well, what happened? Well, I used to not be able to do this, or I couldn't move my arms, or I couldn't move my neck. Oh, Benny didn't even pray for them. Benny didn't even touch them. They were coming up on the stage because they wanted a report of a testimony of what just took place while they were in the glory. Pastor don't need to lay hands on you. He might, but the glory of God lay hands on you, you'd be good. The angel that's sitting next to you in the chair lay hands on you, you'll be good. See, we must get in the glory to use our gifts. This will draw other men onto Jesus. If he can get it to you, he can get it through you. All you got to do is make yourselves available. If he can get it to you, He can get it through you. Amen? So be available to be used of God. I want to close with a thought. I was reading the Bible and I've been asking God, what's this connection with all these men that really served God, that had these mantles where you look at them in the Bible and you go, wow, look what they've done. There's a common thread among the great mantles of ministry. All of them honored Israel and the Jewish people. Did you know that? Many walked in the double portion of God. Look at Elijah, and look at Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, just to name a few. If we cut ourselves off from identifying with the Jewish people, we lose our generational blessings. God bless you. Oh, Pastor, really? Take a look at Romans 11:28. I'll close with that scripture. New Living Translation says it this way, Romans 11:28. Many of the people of Israel are now enemies of the good news. And this benefits you Gentiles, it's us. Yet they are still the people he loves because he chose their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. As a church body, we got to learn to honor our Jewish friends. We need to support them in prayer and finances. We got to remember that Jesus was the King of Jews. Amen? And Jesus adopted us. Do you realize that he made a choice, a conscious decision? When someone adopts a child, not that this doesn't cost a whole bunch of money, because it does, but they make a conscious decision to choose to have that baby or that young lad or whatever become part of their family and take their name. Jesus allowed us to take his name. He chose us to take his name. He paid the ultimate price for all of us. You think adoption was expensive? What Jesus did was priceless. You getting something this morning? See, the gifts and callings of God are never withdrawn. We see that the generational blessings that doubles and multiplies. God blessed Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Jesus and you and me and my children and their children's children. Amen? But we have to stay connected. When the glory of God falls down, it doesn't matter if they're a Jew or a Gentile, they'll see the glory of God. Amen? It's in that time when the glory shows up that mindsets are free. Amen? But we have to go out and tell everybody about our friend Jesus. We can't be bashful about it. You're blessed. You're connected. If you got something good, you want to tell 100 friends, don't you? I do. When they don't have the answer and they say, why are you so blessed? And you tell them Jesus, they don't want to hear that, do they? Well, you're just going to that Jesus. Well, you're just religious. No, I'm relationship. Amen? See, the greater the glory, the quicker things will happen. But God wants you and I to be a vessel that he can pour through. But we got to be prepared to be poured through. Sometimes we need to unloosen our top a little bit, our pressure cooker. Sometimes we get upset too fast. We need to release that so that we can be used of God. Amen? Some people are going to say some stuff about you. Let them speak about you. At least they're talking about you. At least they're thinking about you. Amen? God always uses people that makes themselves available to him. If you don't make yourself available to him, he'll never use you. Oh, Pastor, the more that you allow God to use you, the more testimonies that you have to share with somebody else. Amen? You're not doing it for personal gain. You're doing it to gain the kingdom of God. Amen? There's no limit in the glory of God. There's no time limit. Anything and everything can happen. I can't wait to go to the mission. And we go as a family, as a group. Because, see, y'all have a testimony to help somebody that's in their situation get out of their situation and have an encouragement of word to them that will allow them to get beyond where they're at today. You used to be like, and so-and-so, my old friend used to. I used to drink and carouse. I used to get drunk. I used to be a cheater. I used to be a liar. I used to be a snake. Used to. But then I met my friend Jesus. See, they're looking for someone to encourage them, to let them know that, yeah, you were jacked up just like they were, but you used the power of God's word to get them through. You've been walking in the Spirit of God. You've been walking in the glory zone, and you got healed. And your financial picture just got brighter. And what I used to, what I lost, God gained. I gained so much more. I now have a car and a job and a place that I stay in. I'm no longer out in the park anymore, praise God. When the glory moves, move with it. Be obedient. Discern the Spirit of God. When we go to the mission, let me tell you, we're going to move in the power of God. I believe there will be transformation that will take place. I believe that will be things that were on people will get chiseled off. Amen. Not that I'm going to lay hands on them all and they're all going to fall out. The glory of God will do His part. I'll do mine. Amen. The singers will do their part to build the atmosphere for God to do what He wants to do. But all He's looking for is somebody. Hey, Lord, I'm a vessel. You can pour through me. Who do you want me to pour through to now? Who do you want me to... See, God wants to get it in you and through you to bless somebody else. When you move as the glory moves, you experience the miraculous. We said that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changing. You are. Your old ways are changing. Your old actions, your old words you say are changing. God wants you to be one of those that are sought out because you have the glory of God on your life. You're going to be the person that when you show up, deliverance and things will break free because there's something about you that's been placed upon you that lives are going to get changed when people come by you. But we got to take some time and pray. We got to pray for those in Israel and our Jewish friends, and because we're all connected spiritually. The gifts and callings of God are never withdrawn, so use them. All of you have gifts. All of you have talents. God's not withdrawing them. You've maybe not used them. Maybe you've shelved them. God's telling me to let you know today, use them. Get into the glory of God. Start praising Him, worship, let Him fall, and just move and flow on what He wants you to go do. It's in you. Don't shelf it. Just go do it. He's kicking me in the pan. Go out. Get out to that park and go out and those people and get that camera and start interviewing people and let them know about Jesus. Some of them are going to spit on you. Some aren't going to like what you're going to say, but there will be a few that will get the word. Remember, people want to experience Jesus, but you got to be the one to lead them. I'm not saying you all have to be evangelists, but you can do it in your way. Your mannerisms, the way you speak, will draw people onto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It really will. We all have a different calling. We all have a different way. I had a pastor friend, man, he could walk into a room and he'll get everybody saved, even if you've been saved. I mean, it's just the way he is. He's Mr. Personality, and he can just flow. And he didn't care if you were a drunk, a harlot, whatever you were. He could just walk in there and just love on people, and they would just get saved. I would say, how does he do that? It's just, he has the glory of God. He's been prayed up. He's got the glory. And then he just moves when God says, there's a person I need to go talk to. And he's led by the Spirit. He talks to that person. And man, they'll just start breaking down. He'll tell them everything about their life before they even could say a word out of their mouth. Because, see, God wants them to know that His power is real. Become a person that God wants you to be. Soak in His glory every day. Bask in His presence every week. Get and do what He's called you to do. Pray for those that are less fortunate than you. Keep them up in prayer. Go and spend some time alone in the secret place of the Most High. God wants to bless you in this time, in this hour. God wants to take this church to a whole nother level. And there ain't no new devil because he's already been defeated and he's already underneath my feet. Nothing to be afraid of because he can't come and bite you. He might be able to bark but his bite's going to get kicked with my foot. Amen. I mean, I have to buy new shoes because my feet are on fire from stepping on hell all day. Amen. We got to be serious. We got to take this church on a move, right? The church on the move. That's our tagline now. Spirit Life Christian Church, the church on the move. Because if you're not moving, you're stagnant like all the other churches, and stagnant makes it stink like it wasn't here this morning. We ain't going to stink. We're going to be on the move. We're going to meet people. We're going to greet people. We're going to love people. We're going to watch people get healed. Oh, Pastor, that's crazy. No, no, no. We're going to go places. We're going to be so prayed up. When we walk in, we're going to have cameras. People are just going to be getting lit up, saved, set free, delivered. Sickness, disease, fall. Things they couldn't do with their hands and legs they could do before. Their eye twitch is going to go away. They're stuttering like Moses. You're going to lay hands on them, they're not going to stutter ever again. Because it's impeding their process of what God wants them to have. While you're saying, Pastor, that's crazy. I'm just crazy enough to believe that. That's what God wants to do. Because the world needs the signs, miracles, and wonders. We don't, because we already know the truth. But he's going to use us to bring the miracles, signs, and wonders through the glory of God. That's why I want you to get this in your spirit so strongly, in your DNA. That's why I've been preaching about this for 6 weeks, because God's going to use you. God wants to bless you. He doesn't care what your nationality, doesn't care if you're a man or woman, doesn't care if you're black or white, doesn't care what your background was, doesn't matter where you came from. As long as you're willing to be used, he's going to use you like never before. He'll use those that the world has tossed aside. You'll only amount to be this. You'll only be that. When I went to school in high school, they told me all I'd be is a janitor. That's what my counselor told me. All you'll amount, boy, to is be a janitor. Oh, okay. Sounds like a rewarding job. Picking up trash. He was right. I'm only a janitor. I'm only picking up the trash of the world that Jesus wants us to help. That man spoke prophetically. I'd be a janitor. I'm a janitor for Jesus. I'm just picking up the scraps of the world that nobody else wants, Lord. And say we could be a janitor too. There's a call for janitors for Jesus. That'd be another tagline. Janitors for Jesus. We're just picking up what the world has thrown aside. Hey, let's make sure we take that on and put that on our webpage and copyright it, and then I can sell that for $5.99. Everybody wants to use that. Amen. That's Holy Spirit right now, because I was just thinking about what I was told. What I'm going to amount to be is just a janitor. You ain't going to make college. You could barely pass the ACT or ATC or whatever the name of the test was. I said, hey, I got all those jumbled up. I know I'm J-A-B, Jeffrey Allen Budzinski. That's what I knew it was. Little did they know that I went to college and graduated. My English wasn't good, but I knew how to do math. Little did I know that I'd be a pastor that's just taking out the trash. Every day I wake up, I take another dump of those demons and just throw them right back into hell. Pick up some trash that people, you know, I went to a garage sale yesterday, and someone else's junk is somebody else's gold. That's how God looks at it. See, the world has thrown people away as their trash, but God picked them up and says, you're like gold. You're like the vessel I can use you. You're a little dented, look, but I'm going to clean you up. And no longer are you going to be the bronze. I'm going to polish you up. No longer to be silver. No, 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 no. I'm going to polish up so that you look like gold. Amen? Amen. Lord, bless your people. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be janitors in your kingdom. Because sometimes, Lord, the lowliest job is the highest paid job in your kingdom. The one that nobody else wants to do, Lord God, we're willing to do for you. Lord, let us work in the glory of God. Let us flow in your anointing, our callings and our giftings that, Lord God, you never take back. Fine-tune them in us, Lord God, so that we can discern by the Spirit when to move and how to move, and Lord, when to wait on you. Guide us and direct us. Let us be about your ways and your plans and your purposes. Let us be a people of transformation, a people where the glory shows up and lives are changed for eternity. Guide our words, our mouths, our sayings, and let us be about you. Help us this week, Lord, to be focused on your word. Let us be about you. Bless us. Put a hedge of protection around us with your warrior angels encamped around us. And let us call upon the name of the Lord. And let us use the legions of angels that are at our beck and call. Let us accomplish this week things that we couldn't ever do on our own. But Lord God, with you, we can do it. Guide us, direct us, and bless us. I pray in the name of my elder brother, my best friend. Oh, the King of the janitors. Oh, the King of kings and the Lord of lords and the mighty one of Israel. My best friend, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen and amen.